This is Tab Ramos from Inside American Soccer. The Cup has taken over the U.S. and only DraftKings has you fully covered. The DraftKings Sports app is now available in all 50 states and includes all markets. Sweat all the matches you love, all in one place with one app. New DraftKings customers, sign up with code DK1. Spend $5 to get 200 in rewards within 21 days. That's code DK1 in partnership with DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Bet with DK Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-MY-RESET. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, bet text pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 and over. Void in Ontario. Event contract trading with DraftKings predictions involves risk of loss. Sportsbook bonus bets expire in 7 days. $50 in predictions dollars issued weekly for 3 weeks expire in 1 year. Redeem one non-withdrawable reward. Availability varies. Predictions offer void in New York. Ends June 28th. Terms at dkng.co/audio.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. Good news from California. After a winter of strange climate, the atmospheric rivers over and over again pouring heavy rain into California and heavy snow into the mountain areas, leading to maybe 5 or 6 stories of snowpack. What was going to happen when the spring came and it melted? Devin Nunes. He is the CEO, the guru of Truth Social. Most importantly, he's my reporter for many years on the hydrology, that's the fancy word for water, of the San Joaquin Valley and other parts of California. But we're concentrating on San Joaquin. Not only is it the breadbasket of America, but also it has a phenomena called Tulare Lake that is left from ancient times doesn't do it. We're talking about megafauna, and that's saber-toothed tigers and elephants and camels. All their bones are in Tulare Lake. Then it was no more, dried up. Except, Devin, a very good evening to you. The photographs that I've seen from Tulare Lake make it appear what you've described, more a swampland than a lake. However, there are some photographs showing cars driving down a road that's in about, I'd say, 8 to 10 inches of water. And then vast areas covered with water, not deep, but acreage covered with water. And your concern was that it could get worse if the snow melted quickly. Has the snow moderated in its melting, and is Tulare Lake contained? Good evening to you.
Great to be with you, John. And I actually drove through there this week. And I was actually surprised. The area of the lake that typically in the past, when I've seen it filled before, back in the late 90s and a couple other times before, that low-level area has not filled yet. It seems like they're trying to push the water around so that it's not at the actual kind of low point of the really lake in name only. We have to say this every week that we talk because it was an old historic lake. And I think when the early explorers came through, somebody, you know, must have been one of the years where there was a lot of water, and they looked out, you know, probably in the springtime and said, oh, wow, there's a lake out there, only not to realize that, you know, had they walked through there 45 days later, it would have been a dry, barren desert with tumbleweeds. But this is an unusual year of very, very high levels of snowpack in the Sierras. And I was able to see the old channel that is definitely opened back up of the Kings River that flows, which is the major river that flows into the old Tulare Lake bed. And it's been a long time since I've seen that cut wide open and running out into what's called the lake bottom. But so far, they're actually handling the water. There seems to be, I wouldn't say at this point that more than a quarter of it is underwater. So now they expect that to continue, that to fill up. But the good thing this week is that there was cool weather. And the cool weather, unusual cool weather for this time of year, because typically in May, the San Joaquin Valley is really starting to heat up. Plants are growing quickly. Everything's sprouting. But it was a cool week. So the first part of May, the first half of May is going to be below average. So what does that mean? That means the Sierra Nevada, where the snowpack is at the high levels, it's melting at a slower rate. And the concern has been with extreme heat, this historic water, the largest snowpack since 1983, could come down at a rapid pace. But you know, typically the problem is from May 1st all the way until July 1st. But the good thing is that for the first quarter, I guess we're down with, has been unseasonably cool, which means slow snow melt. And then there's the other story that's going around the coffee shop talk this week is that because the snow is so high, piled so high, as you said, 5-6 stories in some places at the high levels. And then we had those early rains that caused the flooding a couple months ago. The snow kind of got compacted. It almost became, people are describing it being like glaciers that are up there. So some of the experts are saying that this is something that's really good with the cooler weather that's been here, unseasonably cool, along with that kind of, instead of just being snow, actual kind of ice cubes up there, it could melt off even slower than what they expect. And that's what I've been warning you about, is the key is going to be getting through, some period where we would have, say, 3 weeks to 5 weeks of above average temperatures, which would mean instead of the normal 95 degrees to 102, let's say that it was 100 to 115. Well, then all of that could come down very, very quickly, and it can build on itself, and all the snow melt could come down in a matter of just, 30 to 45 days. So far, so good. There's been a controlled, all the lakes have all been drained pretty low. So knock on wood, but everybody is pretty excited right now, even though it's been a slow start to the crop year because of the cooler temperatures. It has been a positive, I think, so far.
There is another part to the water reporting, however, which I learned about from you over the years, and you've mentioned it repeatedly in the books you've published, especially Countdown to Socialism. And the part is that California has to do something positive, or the water that is melting will run off into the Pacific. Has that fact changed at all? Or are we looking at runoff and not retaining it?
No, the water we've lost probably already this year, John, just in the first part of this year, probably the equivalent of a decade worth of water, at least 5 years of water. Now, that doesn't mean that we could capture every single drop, but the fact still remains that some 80% of the water that comes out into what's called the Delta, the rivers all meet and head out to the San Francisco Bay. On average, 80% of that water goes out to the ocean. Well, this year with this much water, it's going to be, in the 90s, it's going to be so much water. I mean, it could be as high as, 98% of the water is going to go out to the ocean, simply because the pumping stations that were built with this great sophisticated irrigation system, they didn't run last year in the fall when they could have run. A lot of dams haven't been built, and that need to be built. And so, yeah, it's a sad state where it's kind of the way California's going. We're investing in things that don't work, like high-speed rail that looks like some old Greek, like you'd be in Athens, Greece, looking at some old Greek ruins, compared to these beautiful irrigation systems that are the most sophisticated in the world that sit there dry and empty, not being used out of sheer stupidity. So you're building this high-speed rail that is now, been being built for 15 years. They're $20, $30 billion into it. And John, get this, there's no plan for a train. So this is supposed to go through the heart, they call the old Tulare Lake bed. This is where this train's going to go from Bakersfield, basically north of Fresno, and been being built forever. All you see are what appear to be Greek ruins. There's no plan. They're pouring billions and billions of dollars into this, so much so that it's on a scale of some. I don't want to give you the wrong numbers, but I'm going to give you approximate numbers. When this is done, when the Tulare Lake Basin Greek ruin tracks are finally done, they're going to be about $100 and some billion. Let's just call it a cool $100 billion. Well, for the three dams that should have been built, there's a couple that need to be raised and one that needs to be built, which would really add to the capacity and the ability to move water around. The total cost of all that, John, would be probably somewhere around $10 to $15 billion. And that's really what makes this go. Not to mention that both the interstates that run through on both sides of the Tulare Lake Bottom, one is Interstate 5, I-5, which is a two lanes on each side, one of the busiest interstates in the country for only being two lanes on each direction. And then Highway 99, which is the busiest state highway in the country, which for most of the parts are also just two lane. So, for the $100 billion that they're spending on high-speed rail that won't even have a train when it's done, we could have had all the water we would ever need for the future of the state. Plus, we would have an Interstate 5 that could probably be 5 to 6 lanes in both directions. The same with Highway 99, plus a whole additional freeway. It would essentially just free up all the traffic throughout California and have plenty of water for less money than they've already spent. That's why you see so many people that are leaving California, fleeing for other places, because they know that nobody knows how it ends, but it ends very, very badly. And you see that on a daily basis. We're right in the San Joaquin Valley where I live. And then when I commute to work at Truth Social headquarters in Sarasota, Florida, it's like the tale of two different places. You'd think you're in totally different countries. One of them is on the move, lots of people, lots of construction, making the right investments. The other one is a total, total train wreck without a train.
Countdown to Socialism is the book Devin wrote some years before now, but it has everything where we're living, especially when it comes to the water story of the San Joaquin Valley. We're going to turn to national politics next because Devin runs Truth Social, where people practice the First Amendment. Apparently, the Washington Post is now practicing the First Amendment because they've published a poll about the president's reelection campaign that begins to look like, well, it's not good news. This is the Friends Vista Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Running a business shouldn't feel like surviving a software group project. One app for accounting, another for inventory, another for sales, and somehow none of them talk to each other. That's where Odoo comes in, an all-in-one business management software that brings every part of your business together, from sales and accounting to inventory and marketing, all in one powerful platform. No messy integrations, no bouncing between tabs, and best of all, no spreadsheets. Stop managing software and start managing your business with one unified system. Try for free today at odoo.com/iHeartRadio. That's odoo.com/iHeartRadio.
Let me ask you something. You want your car to last longer, run smoother, perform better. I'm talking about your engine. I've got something good for you. Seafoam Motor Treatment. Seafoam helps your engine run smoother and last longer. It's easy to use. Just pour it in your gas tank, that's it. It works while you drive. No extra steps, no tools needed. If your car's been acting up, rough idle, no power, burning through gas, it might be time. Seafoam is an easy first step to help bring that performance back. And this isn't something new. Seafoam has been trusted by mechanics for over 75 years, and why millions of people use it every day to keep their engines running strong. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your favorite auto parts store and keep moving forward with confidence. Seafoam, pour it in and power on.
On this episode of Plant Killers, we'll explore one nation's most notorious fruit and vegetable killer, bad dirt. What makes bad dirt so bad? The answer? The ingredients. But fear not, true crime enthusiasts. This story has a happy ending. Miracle-Gro Organic raised bed and garden soil. It's made with quality organic ingredients from upcycled green waste like compost and aged bark. Unlike the other guys who can't say the same. Looks like Bad Dirt's murdering days are over, thanks to Miracle-Gro. Join us next time on Plant Killers.